We turn to Luke chapter 18, and we'll consider as the text the last two verses we read this morning, 16 and 17. Luke 18, we'll read beginning at verse 1. This is the word of God. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. When his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Thus far we read the word of God. May God bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of introduction, briefly, I want you to know that Luke 18, verses 15 through 17 here, is parallel to not only Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, but also Matthew 19, verses 14 and 15. That's important, because while we believe every event recorded in the Bible is significant, and we must pay attention to everything God has to say to us in his word, nevertheless, the Holy Spirit has a way of emphasizing something and calling something very powerfully to our attention. And that way is to do this, to make sure that an event is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and say it not once, not twice, but three times to his people. So we must hear God speaking to us this morning through his Spirit. I want you to know how I view little children. I want you to know that I call you to observe them and even learn things regarding the kingdom of heaven from them. And I want you to know what I call you to do to guide them and to lead them to me and to my Son, Jesus Christ. All of this is very significant. So let's hear the Word of God this morning under the theme, the salvation of little children. You'll notice that although I'm not going to spend much time on verse 15, that the word infants is used. So this is the salvation of newborn babies, salvation of the littlest of children. We notice in the first place what Jesus does for them. Secondly, we notice how Jesus uses them. And then thirdly, we notice what Jesus demands for the little children. What does Jesus do for the children? Well, we could look at the context here or the story here, and we could say that he has a very different attitude than the disciples. The disciples are rebuking the parents and the children, saying, "Stay away." Jesus, it's beautiful in our text, in contrast with the disciples, called them unto him. And unto him is in italics in the King James, meaning that's not literally spelled out in the Greek, but it is understood, that verb, call to, is understood not just saying, "I want your attention," but that verb that's used is, "Come here, come to me." And so it's a very beautiful and intimate call, "Come to me." But now, when we look at this and we say, what does Jesus do for the little children, even the newborn babes? The answer is simply this: he saves them. He gives them salvation in all its fullness. That's the meaning of this text. And then we can look at specifics in the text and look at Matthew 19 and Matthew or Mark 10 in connection with this and say, this is what Jesus is communicating. You want to know what the disciples are doing? They're trying to hinder the children, to shut them out. You want to know what I do for children? I save them. And not just save them, but save them unto myself. And that starts with what we see here in Luke. Luke is the only one who says this, and I'm glad he does, so that we have this perspective. Luke says he called them unto himself. Now, that call is a saving call. We have to understand that Jesus is not issuing an invitation, an offer, saying, I would really like these children to come to me. I love them and I would really like them to be saved. But sometime in the future, they decisively will have to make some kind of choice or decision to be saved. No, Jesus is calling them with the saving call. And even though they are little children, and some of them, not all of them, Mark and Matthew speak of little children in order to tell us that some of these children were maybe 1, 2, 3 years old. But Luke tells us that there's infants there, meaning that there are at least some of them who were babes. And they cannot consciously answer the call. But here's the wonder of the covenant God makes with believers and their children. You believing parents, you're the head of your children. You represent them spiritually. You, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, are doing something for your children. You're dedicating them to the Lord. You're saying, these children, everyone in my household, is set apart for the Lord. Beloved, Luke 18, in the rest of Scripture, teaches us that we must see the tremendous significance of the fact that God makes his covenant not only with believing adults, but also with their seed, with their children. So that when one believing parent, it could be the husband or the wife, hopefully it's both parents, but when even one believing parent says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, now that is what defines that entire household. So that we can say that in the act of those parents heeding the call to come to Jesus, through their parents, those newborn babes were also heeding the call to come to Jesus. He called them powerfully to salvation. Not an offer, but a saving call. Then, Luke does not emphasize this the way that Matthew and Mark do. Luke only implies that he called them to himself. Matthew and Mark say he took some of them into his arms, laid his hands on them, and we don't know exactly what that means, if he held all of them, or if there were some that he held and put hands on, or some he didn't hold but he put his hands on them. And then Matthew says he prayed for them, and Mark says he blessed them. What does that mean? To be touched by Jesus, to be blessed by Jesus, means salvation in all of its fullness. We understand that, don't we? Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't have to say that Jesus explicitly said, I wash this child in my blood. But that's the blessing that Jesus gives to all of his people. And so all Jesus had to say was, I bless you. Blessed be you in the name of God the Father. And what that means is, may your sins be forgiven and washed away in my blood. And so Jesus doesn't have to say it, but it's implied, and you be regenerated by my Spirit, and you have the new life of God. And you, here's my blessing for you. I'm going to be with you all the days of your life. We read that in the baptism form. Not only is the Holy Spirit a guarantee to us and to our children that we have the washing away of our sins, but we have him and his power for the daily renewing of our lives. So that when Jesus put his hand on a little baby and said, bless you in the name of God the Father, he was saying, and this is what I mean, I'm going to be with you by my grace. Every day, you live to be 50, you live to be 60, 70, 80, I'm going to be with you spiritually to bless you in every trial, every temptation, every persecution, every calling that you have that you cannot perform in your own strength. This is my blessing for you. I will be there to give you the strength. And Jesus doesn't have to say it, does he? He doesn't have to say, bless you with eternal life in heaven. But that's implied too. When Jesus takes these children and embraces them and blesses them and prays over them, he's saying, and now this is also the blessing I give you, the hope of life not only now, but after this life, forever and ever in heaven. And so first, Jesus called them. Secondly, I'm putting this all together, he touched them, he embraced them, he put his hands on them, he prayed over them, and he blessed them. Thirdly, he described them. And he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Here's the reason, and here's a description of these children. "For of such is the kingdom of God." I think it would be unfair to the disciples to say that they decisively rejected the children as part of the kingdom of God. I think if you are able to have a conversation with them about how God viewed children all through the Old Testament, and how children were viewed as gifts from God, the crown of old men, stalwart sons and daughters were a blessing to parents, I think the disciples would admit there is a place for children in the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, there was a pride in the disciples that caused them to rank themselves high in the kingdom of God, and these little children low in the kingdom of God. In fact, I don't think it's too strong to say that verse 9 speaks of the attitude of the disciples. "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, Jesus was going to go on to talk about the Pharisee and the publican, and that Pharisee was guilty of thinking he was righteous in his own works and despising the publican. And I don't believe the disciples were that crass or as sinful as the Pharisees, but what Jesus is showing us and what the Holy Spirit's showing us in recording this incident right after that parable is that this attitude and thinking of pride, of lifting myself up, putting others down, and beloved, let's not paper over that. That means you're despising others. Jesus is saying that can characterize sometimes even true Christians. And that's what we're seeing in the disciples. And Jesus shows them, all right, you think you're here, they're here. He shows them how wrong they are. And the point is not to say at all that the children are higher and the disciples are lower, but beloved, this is it. To be described as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that's what you and I need. And that puts us on the same level. We're equal. This is the important thing, Peter and John, not who you are as a disciple, as if that somehow makes you more than even a little baby. If that baby is included in the kingdom of heaven, then that baby is equal with you in this sense. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So is that little one. And this is what Jesus is teaching. There is nothing about a little child, a newborn babe, that prevents them from being saved by me and my powerful grace. That may have been a little bit of what the disciples were thinking. They're too young. They cannot consciously respond to Jesus Christ. They're sinners. And Jesus is saying here in the text, none of that prevents me, when I want to save a little baby and bring her or him into my kingdom. Yes, that baby is born dead in sin. And yet, as we read in the baptism form, that does not prevent Jesus from including them in his salvation by grace. Yes, that little infant has sinful parents who cannot save that baby, but only pass on their sinful natures to their children. That doesn't prevent Jesus from saying, but as I've included you parents in my kingdom, I will also include your child. And yes, it is true. This child is not able to give a conscious response to the call of the gospel, but that doesn't prevent Jesus from saying, and yet I'm going to carry out my covenant and my salvation with you and with your children. They are included, Jesus emphatically states, by my grace, in my kingdom, in my church, in my covenant. Zach and Brooke, that's what you must believe about your two daughters. Jesus saves them. He calls them. He does. You will not ever have the opportunity to go to Galilee and carry Kinlan to Jesus. But when you read your children the Word of God, and when you take time to teach them the gospel, you take time to teach them how to confess their sins, you take time to teach them that they must put their faith in Jesus Christ, you take time to teach them about God and about all of the spiritual truths of His kingdom, Jesus uses parents yet to call our children to Himself. And He touches them. And He blesses them with His Holy Spirit. And He prays for them at the right hand of God the Father. And we believe this, don't we? That Jesus holds His hand in heaven over our children and says, I forgive your sins. And I give you my Spirit and my life. And I will be with you daily, all the days of your life. And I give you the hope of eternal life in heaven. And this is what you and I must believe about infants. The word in the text, or in verse 15, is the word used four other times in Luke to refer to Jesus as the babe lying in a manger, and John the Baptist, the babe that leapt in his mother's womb. Newborn babies. Jesus says, they're mine. I saved them. And not only for their sake, but for our sake. What Jesus does here in the text is He says, you need to remember that when you are in the kingdom of heaven and other people are in the kingdom of heaven, such is your relationship to each other and such is the reality that each one of you receives grace from Jesus Christ, you are able to learn from each other in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 17. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And Jesus needs to be taken at His word there. He is stating a fact. He is not stating here's a 1, 2, or 10-step program for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He is simply saying this. If you have pride, a sense of self-righteousness and self-worth, you will not be allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is not the way for you, if you have entered the kingdom of heaven, to live in the kingdom of heaven in pride, and where you have a self-love and you have a hatred for others. No, the only way that God brings his people into the kingdom is when they, by faith, confess their own worthlessness, and they must depend only upon God. Now, here's the interesting thing. These infants, well, they have to be humble. There's no way for them into the kingdom in any other way than that God, by his grace, carries them into the kingdom. There's no boasting on their part. There's no pride on their part. There's no pride as they stand before God, but there's no pride either as they relate to other people in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus, and we have to be careful with this, he says, I want you to learn from these little children and from these infants with regard to this one point. We must not become radical or wild in the way that we run with this verse and say, now Jesus is turning the tables and there's nothing for the children to learn from adults, but adults have to learn from the children. We're going to come to the third point and say, no, adults have a great responsibility for teaching, training, and instructing children. But with regard to this one point, that there's no room for pride in the kingdom of heaven and that you must be humble in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, you're not necessarily going to be taught that from the mouths of the children. You may be, but you're taught that by observing them. And so let's do that this morning, beloved. Let's look at a little infant and say, now, what did that child do to save herself? And what does that child do to elevate herself and put others down? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. It's all the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, now you apply that to yourself. You believe that you are in the kingdom of heaven also only for the sake of the grace of God. And now as you live in the kingdom of heaven, observe these little children and how they are humble before God, but also in how they are humble before other people. And you maybe cannot see that so much in an infant, although an infant does simply depend upon his or her parents and trust them with a childlike faith. But they don't respect persons, do they? You notice that with an infant. When has an infant ever said, yes, this person may hold me, but no, not that person? And then when they get older, even though we may see that our children have sinful natures when they're 1, 2-year-olds, yet we see, don't we, their love for other people and the fact that they don't have the wiliness of adults to hold grudges and to divide people into camps, and here are people that I love and that I want to be around, and here are people that I look down upon and I'm going to despise them and try to hold them at a distance. Just watch the children in the church, watch them in your family life, and here they are. Well, here you are. There's a person that you're holding a grudge against. Maybe a person in the church you know very well and your family knows well, or maybe a brother-in-law or a brother, and there goes your 2-year-old to give him a hug, not holding any grudge, not looking down on that person. And our thinking might be this. That child lacks understanding, intelligence to know that they shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus' thinking is this. No, the child is not the one who has to learn from you. You, Christian, are the one who has to learn from that child. To be humble and gracious and not looking down on others and despising them, but loving them and forgiving them. So, the children are not only in the kingdom, but Jesus says they are a rich treasure, a gift of grace for you. This text just gives us one example of that. But Zach and Brooke, you will find this. And the Bible throughout speaks of this. Children are a blessing for the parents, that the parents may grow in their faith and knowledge of the things of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus does turn the disciples' thinking upside down. They are thinking we are the important ones, and the children in every respect have to learn from us. And here is Jesus taking his disciples down quite a few pegs, isn't he? No, actually, disciples, it's just the opposite. These little children, of such is the kingdom of heaven, and you do well to observe them and learn from them. To be humble and dependent on God's grace for everything. But finally, this morning, we consider what Jesus demands for the children. First of all, from the parents, but then from everybody who has a calling to guide and instruct and care for the little children of the covenant. And what we find in verse 16 is a direct command, the positive, suffer little children to come unto me, and then the negative, Jesus says, and forbid them not. And we have to understand Jesus as speaking figuratively. He's not speaking literally, don't do anything to hold the children back from walking towards me. But from a spiritual point of view, he is saying to parents and to everyone in the church with a responsibility towards the children, don't you do anything to be a spiritual stumbling block. Don't you do anything to be a spiritual detriment to the children of the covenant. And we acknowledge, don't we, there are many ways where we can and often do. We have sin to confess here, don't we? Spiritually hinder the children of the covenant. Laziness in child rearing is putting a stumbling block in front of children. You understand when Jesus says, I've given you children and now your calling is to bring them to me, and if you neglect your duties to do that, then you are preventing your children from coming to me. If you don't teach them, if you don't warn them, if you don't admonish them, if you don't call them to put their faith in me, then you are forbidding your children. You are a stumbling block in front of them. Because if you are not actively bringing them to me, well, then they are going to learn the ways of the world. They will not go to Jesus and believe in him, But they will go to social media, to TV, to movies, to whatever, and be like the world. Worse, it is worse, although to be lazy and neglectful is bad enough, are the parents who actively teach their children to sin and to be like the world. They're watching. They're learning from you. It's one thing if your children say, well, we don't learn anything from you spiritually, really. We're just left to ourselves. It's another thing if the children say, this is what we're learning from our parents, to talk like the world, to live like the world. And you understand that if children learn to walk away from Jesus and in sin from their parents, Jesus holds those parents responsible. Let's remember that in Mark 10, when it says that Jesus rebuked the disciples, it says he was displeased with them. He was angry with them. How dare you? How dare you put a stumbling block in front of one of these, my little ones? And let's remember that Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 6, says of anyone who causes offense, literally puts a stumbling block, which means prevents someone spiritually from coming to me, it would be better for you to have a weight hanged around your neck and to be drowned in the sea. Beloved, this is how serious this is to God, and we can put it into Old Testament language that has application to us today. There's only one of two things that you can do with your children. You're going to sacrifice them in the sense of dedicating them to God and His Son Jesus Christ, or you're going to sacrifice them to Molech. That's serious business. God accounts laziness or sinfulness as the worship of the idol Molech and as the sacrifice of the souls of the children in the church, dedicating them to evil. The warning is that powerful. Forbid them not. The positive is not simply allow, suffer, but do everything in your power. Put forth every effort to bring your children to Jesus Christ. Teach them, warn them, rebuke them, discipline them, encourage them, comfort them constantly with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, have devotions with them. Yes, pray with them. Yes, sit them down to tell them when their behavior does not measure up to the standard of the Word of God. Sit them down to instruct them on the beauty of forgiveness of sins and of the way of holiness. Don't simply be negative, but be positive and encourage them daily through the teaching of Scripture. And model for them in all your life what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And teach them that the guiding influence in their lives should be you as their believing parents. we should teach our children that their heroes should not be sought out there. Maybe on the athletic field or in some other field of worldly success and enterprise. But your role as parents is to make disciples so that the children will follow Jesus Christ. And this is a good thing in a Christian home. If children can say, I know what it means to follow Jesus Christ, all I have to do is follow mom and dad. And isn't that what you have done in your lives? Followed your parents? To follow Christ, of course. So that you are following people you probably never met. Grandparents or great-grandparents who are gone, but their legacy lives on in your parents and in you, and may God grant it in your children, so that your daughter may live and follow the legacy also of people she will never meet, but follow Jesus. I know how important it is for you, Zach, to nurture plants. I know how difficult it is. I know by experience that you cannot plant lettuce or other vegetables and just expect them to flourish and produce fruit. It takes work, care, effort. But will you, Zach and Brooke, hear this word of Jesus Christ, and will all here this morning hear this word of Jesus Christ saying to us, really, this is your priority in the kingdom of heaven. This is much more important besides your own soul and salvation in Jesus Christ. That you do what Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May God grant his blessing to us and our children. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the power of thy Spirit, which applies that word to you, our hearts and lives as adults, as parents, and as children. And we pray, Father, that as those who have by grace been brought into thy kingdom, we may, as we live in thy kingdom, constantly be molded and shaped by thy word to be humble, to have a childlike faith, to have a love for thee, and also a great love and graciousness towards one another. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.